Word of mouth.
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 This is Word of Mouth from New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Virginia Prescott. Coming up today, a nation of spankers. While approval for corporal punishment has plummeted in a generation, more than 90% of parents still spank their toddlers. We'll look at the gap between public condemnation and private discipline. And a mommy blogger takes aim at a particular seasonal fashion, tween girls getting waxes and fresh highlights before sleepaway camp. We'll hear her argument for camp as a fashion-free zone. But first, seducing the swing voters. As President Obama makes campaign stops today in New Hampshire, we're reminded that despite its puny electoral numbers, New Hampshire, like Missouri, Ohio, Florida, and North Carolina, is a crucial swing state in 2012. Citizens in those states have voted in recent elections not based on party loyalty, but on where candidates stand on the issues of the moment. How President Obama and Mitt Romney frame their respective conversations about the economy, the most pressing issue for swing voters, may well decide the election. Steve Kornacki wrote about the very different interpretations of the last 4 years for Salon. Steve was also recently named co-host of The Cycle, which debuts today on MSNBC. Steve, welcome back to Word of Mouth, and congratulations on the new gig.
Thank you, and it's great to be here.
Both campaigns are crafting messages to sway swing voters. Not a surprise, all about the economy. So what's the Obama message in a nutshell?
The problem is there really is no Obama message in a nutshell. What he's really relying on here and what his campaign is really relying on is context. Yes, people feel, you know, bad, feel anxious, feel lots of unease about where the economy is and where their own lives are because of that. But, you know, he wants people to be considering, where did this start? This started with the crash that occurred in 2008. There was a Republican president. There were Republican policies that sort of predated that crash. The crash was epic in nature. It spilled over to the last 3.5 years. It's why we've had such a sluggish recovery. The lack of cooperation from Republicans in Congress has played a role in that. The refusal to pass a jobs bill has played a role in that. The fact that the Republican nominee would basically return to the policies that predated the 2008 crash, he wants that to be relevant too. The fact that the Republican nominee is part of this sort of private equity world, you know, that's gotten richer while the rest of the country struggled the last few years, that makes profits without necessarily creating jobs. He wants people to be considering that. So there's this whole sort of soup of context that the Obama campaign is trying in different ways and at different times to get into people's minds, where the overall effect they're going for is to take that impulse that I think swing voters tend to have in elections, where, you know, if they're feeling economically anxious, they're open to voting, you know, for the challenger, they kind of want to take it out on the incumbent, is to take that impulse and to insert some pause into there so that voters who go into the booth intent on voting against Obama think about it for a second and say, you know, wait a minute, is this really going to answer our problems?
Is that message that the Republican policies crashed the economy before he took office resonating with swing voters?
You know, I actually think it is, and there are two bits of polling evidence that suggest this. One is that if you keep asking the question, you know, who is most responsible for the current state of the economy, Obama or Bush, Bush is still winning that question, so to speak. You know, mm-hmm. I think the most recent poll on that was about 54% saying Bush, 30-something percent saying Obama. That's kind of extraordinary when you think about it, because historically, the general rule is about 1 year for the new president to blame the guy, you know, he took over from. And at that point, people get sick of hearing it. And, you know, whatever the problems are that exist become the incumbent president's problems. So we're seeing something a little different now in that there's this lingering Bush blame going on. And you could perhaps connect that to another piece of data, and that is Obama's overall approval rating, which has been unusually stable. It was very high in his first few months in office, crashed down to, you know, the high 40s shortly after that. And it's basically stayed there, except for a bit during the debt ceiling drama last summer. It's basically stayed in the high 40s for more than 2 years now. That's an extraordinary level of stability for an incumbent president. It's also higher than you would think a president's approval rating should be based on the economic conditions. If you did like a historical model, you'd say Obama's numbers, based on the economy alone, probably should be in the low 40s, probably about 42-43%. And here he is sitting at about 48%. And again, that suggests, at least, you know, to me, that that's the Bush factor. That's people saying, you know what, this isn't all his doing. This was a truly unusual circumstance. There are extenuating circumstances here, and some people taking that into account.
And of course, the Obama campaign is trying to draw the line between Bush and Romney. But on the other side, there are a lot of accusations that Romney's message is nothing other than Obama's policy has failed, I can do better, vote for me. Any specifics on how he'd change the economy?
No, and that's the point. This is something also the Romney campaign isn't making much secret about this, that they are not really running on policy. They are not really running on, you know, here's the substantive plan to address health care. Here's the substantive plan to address the jobs crisis. They see as their role model, as best I can tell, the story of Chris Christie and mm-hmm. how he got elected governor of New Jersey in 2009. And the Christie campaign in 2009, you got to remember, Chris Christie did not exist then as he now does, as this dynamic, charismatic figure. The only thing Chris Christie tried to be when he ran against John Corzine, the incumbent governor of New Jersey in 2009, was not John Corzine. Because, you know, New Jersey's economy obviously wasn't doing too well. The crash had just occurred. Corzine's disapproval numbers were getting very high. He wasn't particularly popular. So the calculus on the Christie campaign's part was, we are not going to get into a specific policy war here because that's going to give our opponents ammunition. That's going to potentially take voters who just want to vote against Corzine, and it's going to make them say, you know, wait a minute, I don't like Corzine, but I don't like Christie on this issue or that issue, or he said too much about social issues, whatever it happens to be. And so the Romney campaign has really internalized what they see as the winning lesson of the Christie campaign, which is, I'm not the incumbent mm-hmm. candidate, and run on that.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's not tough to run against discontent, right? The make this go away wish among voters is high. Is it strong enough motivation for swing voters to endorse Romney?
That and you know, that's the that's why this is such a fascinating election to me, because, you know, historically, yeah, the Romney campaign is making a pretty good bet here. You know, there was thinking in this country, it's hard to imagine now, but think back to 1980, there was an assumption at the start of that campaign that Ronald Reagan was way too conservative to ever win a national election. This was only 16 years after the Barry Goldwater disaster. The country would never elect somebody that far to the right. But the economy was so bad in 1980, you know, people were looking for not Jimmy Carter, and that was Ronald Reagan, and there was the landslide. And there was a little bit of that, too, with Bill Clinton in 1992. We don't remember it now, but at the start of that campaign, he was electoral poison. You know, he had all of the scandals, the sex scandals, the Vietnam draft. You took a poll, nobody trusted the guy. Never supposed to win a general election, but the economy was so bad, people gave him a look. So that's what the Romney campaign is obviously counting on here. But like I said, what makes this so interesting is Obama seems to be getting a benefit of the doubt here that Carter didn't get in 80, that Bush Sr. didn't get in 92, and it's what's keeping this race very close right now. And it really looks to me like a 50-50 race, and, you know, one's going to win, but I couldn't tell you right now which.
Are there concerns, Steve, in Romney's camp if gas prices do continue to fall or if the employment numbers pick up?
Well, that's it. I mean, the downside from the Romney standpoint of running the kind of campaign they're running is, obviously they'll never admit this, but, you know, good economic news is bad political news.
Well,
for the Romney
look
campaign.
At this last week. Bloomberg reported that the Romney campaign had asked Florida Governor Rick Scott to tone down his statements,
right,
heralding improvements in the state's economy. Now, how did the, first of all, let's get to the truth of that. How did the campaign respond?
That's actually part of a trend. You also had the governor of Iowa, where the economy is doing really well, the Republican governor there, saying publicly he doesn't think that Romney should be talking down the economy when he's out in Iowa, because the Republican governor, Branstad, you know, wants to take credit for that. And the Romney campaign is in no mood to sort of accede to those demands right now, because, you know, their message is not ever in any way things are getting better. Their message is, you know, Barack Obama has made this worse. Barack Obama is the single biggest obstacle to anything positive happening with the economy, and you have to get rid of that obstacle. They want this to be as simple and as clean for the swing voter as possible, and just have the swing voter in a mood that, hey, things are bad and I want to get rid of this guy.
Steve Kornacki, thanks so much for joining us.
Yeah, happy to.
Steve Kornacki, political writer for Salon. You can find a link to his story about the role of swing voters and the messaging to them in the current campaign at wordofmouthradio.org. Now, you can also tune in to watch Steve make his debut as co-host of MSNBC's The Cycle today at 3 o'clock. So break a leg, Steve.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
Coming up, marketing to the new bikers, crafting an appeal to the wild ones whose wild days are well behind them. Stay with us for that story and more. From Word of Mouth, we'll be right back.